At the T-minus 3 minute mark, tape recorders on board the spacecraft were turned on. These recorders record both voice and data.
This is WOMLP operating out of Burlington, Vermont, 105.9 The Radiator. Good evening, it's The Rocket Shop. I'm your host, Tom Proctor, with me tonight, Django Solo. It's been a minute.
It has been a hot minute, my friend.
When was the last time you were on?
I was thinking about it today. I think it was 2019.
Jesus.
Pre-pandemic times.
You make me feel so old.
Oh, you look great, man.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had you on last as a solo artist, and then I think the time before that as a solo artist, and the time before that when you were with a band, which I can't remember the name of now, mm-hmm. but I really enjoyed them. And they don't exist anymore, do they?
So I was here with, it was ahead of my album Alone Together, and I think that might have been the last time I was here. I'm not sure. I've been here quite a few times,
yeah.
And I'm grateful for everyone. But I'm pretty sure.
Yestrogen.
Yes. Well, I was here with Yestrogen, of course, and they are no longer playing, but I do love those homies quite a bit. But what became the Larkspurs, one time I was here promoting my solo album, and then I put a band together, which became the Larkspurs. But we weren't the Larkspurs when we came here, and then we played that album release show for Alone Together, and then became
the Larkspurs.
And now we're actually taking a little break now, but we've played like hundreds of shows since then. And
so you're saying that Big Heavy World was the reason why you became this super successful Burlington based band?
I think that's the exact press quote you should pull from.
Exactly what you just said.
Exactly. That's 100%
you said that
accurate.
Verbatim.
Yeah, I think I owe everything. Yeah, and all my royalties from now on will go to Big Heavy World.
Directly to Big Heavy World. Yeah. That would be great. Thank you very much. I'm assuming you're rolling.
Care of Tom Brock.
I'll look after it for you. Well, as you know, we like kicking off with a song, so what have you got for us?
All right, I'm going to play a song called Hold the Line. And I have released a few different records since I was here last. This one is off the album 222, which I recorded with Colin McCaffrey in East Montpelier. But yeah, Hold the Line.
Crept into the night, the dark. darkness felt so right. And that blackbird gave me her word that the pain would pass with time. And that train would hold the line. Yes, the pain would pass with time. And that train would hold the line. Yes, the car will find her way. And our paths will cross.
Hold the Line There by Django Solo. First question is, you did a little bit of like an interlude prior to the song. Was that improvisation or is that part of the song? And then if it is part of the song, because you hear this obviously on records and whatnot where mm-hmm. there's you know, a little bit of an interlude and then it goes into a completely different sounding song. Is that called something? Is there a stylistic choice there? What leads you to create something like that?
I mean... Yeah, what it's called, not sure. I mean, maybe a prelude or something like that. I like to, it helps me get into the song, I think is part of the reason, but it's kind of written, like it's similar to what I do on the record, but I like to leave it open, and I did recently see Julian Lage, you know what I'm talking about? He's an absolute... he's an incredible guitar player. It's one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. And he just has gotten me, like, after seeing that show, just thinking very specifically about every note. I feel like it's easy to kind of get into the rhythm of a song that I play. I play it a ton of times. But leaving openness for, like, maybe I want to play that a little bit differently. Or even just, like, if I swipe up one time instead of just doing it, like, back and forth. Or, like, trying to switch it up. And seeing in the moment what I want to do, which has been a pretty big trip.
Interesting. Julian a local artist?
He is not, but he is. He's an incredible jazz guitarist. He just played a sold-out show at Higher Ground Ballroom. And it was a seated show with a full band. But he's on the, like, he's played with all kinds of people, but, you know, he's in, like, the Bill Frisell kind of, like...
Okay.
In that kind of area, that vein, but he is something else. It happened, yeah, that was recent. That was last weekend. So,
so this has been just like
I'm plugging him immediately for some reason. But yeah,
has just been going around your mind for the last like week. Then it's just like I need to become this kind of guitar player.
And it's been a long time since I've seen a show, and it just completely like I mean, it inspired me to play music, obviously, but just like kind of felt like it rewired me. Immediately after it, but.
That's really interesting. I love when that happens when you read a book or watch a movie or obviously see an artist where it's like it makes you look at the world slightly differently.
Yeah, I mean, there's like all kinds of instances where he's just pushing like what's possible with a guitar. But at one point, and I swear, I like my music too, but I'm happy to talk about him. He's going for he's playing a solo and he's going up towards these like about to hit this like peak note. And then he just stops and takes a step back and doesn't hit it and just looks at the guitar.
Oh, what a tease.
Like, yeah. But also he just like, it was something he thought that he should like kind of do is what I kind of took from that.
Yeah.
He's like, he's just trying to push it, or they'll be playing some kind of blues, like 1-4-5, like simple chords. And he just comes in with like pretty much a different song, like counterpoint notes going above and below each other. And it's in a different key. And it's like, like you're playing a different song, different signature, time signature. So I'm not going to do that. But if you get the chance.
It sounds ambitious, but it sounds really interesting. And now I'm going to have to find this guy and have a listen to him. Yeah. Although I've just missed his yearly gig in Burlington, apparently. So you're giving me this information a bit late.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't invite you.
Yeah, that's where I can go.
I was assuming you were there.
I was working on the house. So you came out with a new album last month, Shadow Work. Tell us a little bit about the making of Shadow Work. Is this a COVID album? Was this partly a COVID album?
This was a COVID album. Hashtag COVID album. I recorded these songs with the last record that came up before this, which is To the Moon, Alex, which is an album that I released the week that me and my wife both got COVID. I just pushed it to like put it out because we both had COVID and we're stuck at home, and it was her birthday. And it's kind of an album for her, so I put that one out. But it's the first time these two albums, they're like the flip side of the same coin, kind of. There was a lot of, they kind of just captured a lot of the lightness that came from COVID and like the kind of deep love that I could feel with my wife. We got married during the pandemic and during those early COVID times. And also, yeah, there's a lot of darkness there. I had some friends that passed away suddenly, a couple of really close friends. And I did this album, I just kind of laid out the bass for both of those two albums in one session at my house. And I'd never recorded on my own before. I've always had been working with some kind of engineer or usually a lot of times with Colin McCaffrey. I love working with him. But I recorded an album out in Oregon with a friend, Dennis Dragon. So I wanted to try something new, and it scared me to record it myself, mix it myself, and put it out.
You have to learn quite a lot of that for this album specifically, or did you have some of this knowledge going into it?
So for this one, one thing that I did learn is that it would make a difference to, well, I mean, I did just rush out that one to the moon, Alex. So to maybe take a little bit more time with mixing and it was exciting to do, but maybe not again, but it's nice to have that time capsule. for sure.
Did your wife appreciate it as it was her birthday album?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She definitely did.
That's good. Yeah. That's all that matters then, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's a song for our little doggy Helen, a Helen song on that album. There's a lot. It's a special one. It's a cute little album. But for this one, what was I going to say? I mean, it's definitely dark and it's called Shadow Work, which, you know, just to be fully transparent, I started doing therapy for the first time since I was a kid during the early days of the pandemic. And it kind of, I felt like I wanted to put out some music that kind of captured kind of what I was, just what I felt a lot of us were going through. I mean, there were times where I would, I realized this recently, during the pandemic, during those early lockdown times, I would take a drive and just scream out the window. And I didn't even think it was weird at the time. Like, I would just be on the highway just taking a drive and just, like, yelling at the top of my lungs. But yep. I just need to, like...
Do you ever drive past another car doing the exact same thing? Just, like, Doppler effect?
I did not, but I'm sure, yeah, maybe you were out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I was doing... Like, yeah, that's pretty normal. Like,
yeah.
I just still do that now.
But so there's a lot of... Yeah, there's a lot of emotion in this album. And I did just want to say that it is my friend... Carrie Monahan, it's his birthday today, actually, and it's this album's dedicated to him and another friend that passed away a few years ago now, Nick McKeever. But so I wanted to, this date I saw was open and I just needed to come and play some music for Carrie, but he would be 36 today.
Well,
yep.
I'm really glad you did come in, and mm-hmm. I'm really glad that this is a space that you wanted to share, I don't know, your thoughts and feelings about your friends and kind of display this album, which obviously dedicated to them in this space. So really grateful to have you in on that front.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you've actually kind of teed us up for a song. So what would we like to play?
All right. Well, I'm going to keep things light here, play one off of that. I'll slowly move into Shadow Work, but I'll play one from To the Moon, Alice. To the Moon, Alex. To the Moon, Alice is actually a reference, I don't know if you know this, but Honeymooners. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that show.
Yeah, isn't that like the guy that's gonna, like the it's
Power
funny because
kisser?
It's domestic abuse.
Yeah, so it is, and I just kind of wanted to like take that phrase and use it just like kind of in a really light way. Like we can travel.
Mm.
It's a cosmic magic adventure with my wife.
So, right. One of these days we'll travel to the moon. Not one of these days.
Exactly.
Power we'll have the police called on us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is called Green Lights. Yeah, and this is. It's a song about my lady. All right. I guess I'll get weird for a sec in the beginning because, you know, this is for Julian. Oh
Cadillac, wondering what to do. Back and forth, south and north, wondering about you. Moving on up and trying to follow all the traffic signs to get you into my ride. Cause when I'm with you, it's always green lights, green. By my side, cause when I'm with you, it's always green, green lights, green lights, so bright all day into the night.
There by Django Solo. What a lovely little ditty.
Lovely ditty.
Yeah.
And I've been playing some electric since the last time I saw you, so.
You've gone Bob Dylan on us.
I know. I really have.
Not just that, but you've thrown in a looper pedal as well, which I love a looper pedal.
I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And to playing some solo shows, I think it's a great thing to have. And that song sounds a lot different on the record, but after. You know, I just had to kind of change it up and make it fun for in a live setting.
Do you do that with all your songs, or is there some songs that you're like very much like, I do not change this. I got this right when I put it on the record and now it is verboten to touch. Or is every song fair game for your like, you know, workings?
Yeah, I mean, there's, I think everything's fair game, I'd say. I like to look at a song like a living, breathing thing. But it is, and it's, I think that records are really cool because they are time capsules of where I was at when something, when I recorded something. Maybe I rushed into recording, you know, it's like maybe, or if I did a guitar line, maybe I don't quite like it the same as I used to, or if I did in the moment, but it's like important to be able to look back. Or sometimes I'll be like, oh, I played that way better. What happened to my guitar playing?
I've regressed.
You know? Yeah. I do like to change it up. And I mean, the lyrics, though, I feel like lyrics, I don't often go back and change. And sometimes, I mean, lately I've been feeling like it might be worth re-looking at some of them and seeing if they still, you know, if they still hit the same and if it's, you know, possible to maybe change some.
I guess you've just kind of created kind of a philosophical question there, that if you change the lyrics to a song and if you change the composition to a song, then is it really the same song anymore? It's kind of like the ship of Thessaly, isn't it? Like, if you change all the parts, then is it the same ship?
I mean, bro, you're getting crazy now.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's... Yeah, it's got to probably hold some of the same foundational elements. And but, you know, maybe just change a couple lyrics, a couple chords, and just releases a new song, and that's... You have, like, 5 albums that you can release in, like, a week.
Do you know Manu Chao?
What's that?
Do you know the artist Manu Chao?
Yeah.
He definitely has a couple of songs where he's done that similar thing. Where, for a start, he sings in French and Spanish and English, and so he'll change it up between the languages anyway. But then, yeah, he will have a lot of songs that sound very similar with different lyrics. And, yeah, it's...
Yeah. That's a crazy human being, for sure.
He's a cool guy.
I know, and then you'll hear stuff like... I feel like there's someone... not to call him out, but I guess I will. But I did hear a song by Sturgill Simpson where it was, you know, recently that sounded a lot like a newer song that he put out. And, you know, it's like if you have, like, these chords that, like, really work, I think, you know, and you just have maybe something else to say, or maybe it didn't, that song didn't hit the way it is, then, yeah, why not take them and make it into something new?
Or whatever you were singing about previously, you've now got new thoughts on, and so you want to be more reflective of who you are now, even if it was a song at the time that was reflective of you then, but you want to kind of, you know, modernize it for your own kind of perspective.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, I do, Helen's song, she keeps getting older, and I do have a line about her age, or the time she's been with us, so, you know, it keeps going up.
Right, so that lyric keeps changing whenever you're singing it.
And then, you know, like the Wood Brothers have one of their songs where they say, I never thought I'd have to buy a diamond ring. And now he says, like, I did twice. Like, he'll, like, say that. He's like, I did twice. You know, it's like, you know, When I Was Young was like his, that's a great song. But
I like the Wood Brothers.
Things do change.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're talking about, right?
I think so, yeah. Change. As you said, the songs are living, breathing things. And it's just interesting that you have no, I don't know, you have no problem with messing around with some of this stuff. There's a lot of artists that come in here that are very much perfectionists and things need to stay the way that they are. And you don't seem to have that kind of compunction, I guess, if I'm using the word correctly.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I feel like, I do get that from my dad, who's a songwriter and guitar player as well. I think that's a big piece of, and my mom's a musician too. I feel like they both kind of have given me that. But like, for instance, I try to like learn cover songs, and I pretty much every time I just try to make it my own, like right away. And there's kind of like, I feel like there's a few different pieces to why, but one is that we're kind of talking about this earlier, but like I can't really necessarily nail it exactly the way it's going to be done. So then, so I kind of make it mine just as a way to, as a workaround to like, you know, not having to learn Bohemian Rhapsody exactly like it's played. Not that I cover that one.
But that was an interesting one just to throw out there.
Yeah, just a casual song that's like really easy to pick up, you know?
Right.
but yeah, I feel like my dad has had, multiple times when I was kind of starting out playing guitar, he said, you know, when I was learning a cover song, like, just make it your own feel. And he'll take songs and just change lyrics if they don't really, you know, a song that someone else has written, and he'll change them if it doesn't work for him or kind of ring true for him. So
at what point are we going to get father and son come into the studio and play for us?
Let's do it. I love playing music with my dad.
I just feel like having a conversation with your dad would be like... having a conversation with you like squared. I feel like we'd get into very weird territory quite quickly.
He would steal the show for sure.
Good. That's what this show is about. Honestly, we're trying to showcase an artist here. So
he's incredible.
I'm gonna swerve back though, just as I say that. Talk about shadow work, because one thing I was talking to my wife earlier on, And I was like, oh yeah, it's Django Solo. He's coming on, and he's played a bunch. And he's like, oh, what's he like? And I was like, oh, happy-go-lucky was the first phrase I used to describe you. So it's very interesting the moment I brought up your new album and then saw it was about things that aren't happy or go lucky, in fact, very heavy. So that, yeah, it's... As you said, you had kind of a yin-yang or two sides of the same coin albums here. Is this the first album where you've really kind of poured out some of these darker thoughts and these darker ideas that you've had? Or was this just because you started going to therapy and like, oh, well, I need to actually get this out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how did this happen?
Got to work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I feel like I always have had pretty emotional, and I've had some like select songs on an album that you might hear and you'll be like, wow, that's like, that kind of sounds heavy. But I feel like I always kind of push like optimism and bring light to, to any of those. At least I try to like maybe end with some kind of piece, even if it's just like a chord that brings some light. And I feel like I still have done that here. But it's like kind of maybe over the arc of the album. But I'd say you're right. It's fair to say that I've never really kind of put out an album like this, and had to kind of work through some of this stuff. But also, yeah, I think it was just, I had to, as you say, get it out during the pandemic. I think I just had to, even if it wasn't released then, just to, start working on those songs and
And while I completely understand like having songs dedicated to good friends you've lost, you've also got songs that for example written about the sexual assault allegations from Ben Bergstein, which I mean, that is a particularly grubby recent history of you know, our community. What made you think this is a song? What made you think, yeah, oh, this is song material right here?
I was so lost, like, just when that happened, I felt so lost. And I think that's, I've never really had to turn to music in that way before, where I was so frustrated with just how that, you know, how he was getting away with that for so long. And it just hit so close, because I know that's such, it's like, unfortunately, like a story that's just as old as time, it feels like. But just to happen in our community like that was a really heavy hit. And so I just was like, I'm either going to like break all my guitars or like write a song, or, you know, and just needed to have, because I feel like that is something positive that you can do from, you know, it's like, right, even if it's a sad song, it's like that's, it'll maybe help some other people, I thought too. And just out of that frustration, it's like, I need to pick up my guitar and.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. I mean, it was, well, just disgusting, to be honest, and really depressing. And as you said, he got away with it for such a long time and then it didn't really feel like he really got his just desserts in a way. It feels like there was nothing really came out of it really in a positive way. I'm glad something did, I guess. I'm glad there is actually some music that actually was created from this whole thing. I'm curious as to... next album, are you gonna then kind of go to like a mix of the positivity and the kind of more of the darker stuff, or are you on like, okay, this is actually the sort of stuff I want to write now, or are you like, nope, I'm going right back to the positivity again?
Yeah, well, this is, it's an interesting time, because I feel like, as I had said earlier, the Larkspurs, the band that I've been playing with for a long time, I think I'd been kind of catering some of my songs to that band. That's an Americana type sound. And yeah, and now that my friend Liz, who you've met, and she's been here, friend of the show, but she's moved to New Orleans now, and I'm really happy for her. She's a nurse down there at their big hospital, and so the Larkspurs for the foreseeable future, we may play some select shows when she comes up to visit. She's from Vermont, but I kind of have like an open space for a music project. I have some things that we're kind of working on, but. I'm excited to see where I go. I haven't really had time to kind of tune in and see what the next what the next project will be. But this is, it's interesting because, yeah, the last two albums, they've just been this like vision that I've had for such a long time. Now I find myself like curious about where, but I think I'll tend to go towards some happy sounding songs. Yeah, it really depends on what strikes me.
At your core, you are still that happy-go-lucky dude. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what you produce, but I'm sure you'll be doing something great. I mean, I feel like you can't not play music all the time. It seems to be like a compulsion.
Yeah, that's fair. And yeah, and just, and I feel like I'm playing out and kind of working on some of these songs, but really, yeah, kind of tuning in with myself and maybe writing. And I also don't do a lot of songwriting with other people generally. It is a solo thing, so maybe looking at kind of branching out with that.
Don't be interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll love to hear another song. We've got some music playing in the background.
Yeah, I think there's going to be...
Yeah, I was going to say, try and work with that. Let's see if you can...
We'll see what happens with that.
Weave it into your own music.
Weave it in. Cool. Well, I'm gonna play this Martin guitar right here. I recently got this fixed up, and this is a 1958 Martin that was my mom's. Her mom gave it to her in 1970, and then it got passed down to me. And I just got it fixed up by Jake Wildwoods, who's down in Rochester, Vermont.
So this guitar is 63 years old? Or, no, wait, 65 years old?
I mean, you're the
mathematician. I'm really not very good at math, but yeah. Old. It's old. It's an old guitar. Old,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's a special guitar. But yeah, so I'm going to try this song. I think it's going to be interesting with this synth stuff that's happening here.
Right.
But this is called Parting Words for Two Dead Birds. And how am I doing over here? Is this working? Okay, cool. If it's working, I'm good. And this is a song I kind of had this hypnotic rhythm that I was working on with my guitar. And I just knew that I wouldn't really be able to write the right lyrics. I kind of just like intuitively was like, this is either going to be an instrumental or something. And then my wife wrote a poem called Parting Words for Two Dead Birds. And I took that poem with her permission, I'd like to add. And wrote this song right here. Yeah, and I'll play a little bit maybe. To get in the zone.
One minute gone the next, never, ever forgot. Dead cardinal lay my doorstep tonight. Red feathers still just as bright. Perhaps unknowing this would be her last flight. Were you hungry? Were you loved? It's a cruel world when that's not enough.
Solo there with parting words for two dead birds. Really weird coincidence, but about a month ago I had a dead cardinal just outside my doorstep.
Wow.
Which is very strange when you said it was a cardinal. I was like, wow, this is a song for the bird that was left. Not left, I mean died outside my front door.
Wow, that song's for you. Yeah. That's why I played it, so we could be here together in this moment. You could tell me that. Yeah. That's interesting, man. That's why my wife wrote the poem. It was after her father passed away a few years ago now, and she just kept seeing dead birds on the ground, and just like, and another thing where, I mean, the same way that I need to pick up a guitar and write a song, but she does that with poetry when she, you know, as an outlet, that and artwork. But yeah, so she wrote that poem after seeing that and just kind of reflecting on life and death.
It was a really beautiful song, and Tell Hell, and it must have been a beautiful poem as well, because...
Alex. Mm-hmm.
Alice, sorry. Don't know why.
Well, Helen's my dog. And Helen will be really excited to know that too. And you're not the first person to mix those two
up. Those two
and
up.
It's been pretty hilarious when I'm like, oh yeah, Like, Helen's out in the car, and I'm with, like, friends that, like, think it's my wife. They're like, why does she...
Your dog has too human of a name is the problem here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it needs to be something...
Dogs with people names. That's my new song.
Yeah. Well, we haven't got that much time left, unfortunately, Django, and I really want to hear another song, so we're just going to go straight into that fourth one.
Yeah.
So what are you going to have to play us out with?
All right, so... this is one that I just don't play it very often, and it's the song that I wrote for my friend Carrie, and it's his birthday, and I gotta just do it, so we'll see how it goes, but this song's called Carry On, and if Carrie's friends or family are listening, Donna and John's parents, just sending you some love on Carrie's birthday today, Carry On, yeah. Carry on. Sometimes it's hard 'cause you're gone. Why'd you say goodbye and leave us behind?
this is your song. Sometimes it's hard to carry on. Sometimes it's hard 'cause you're gone. Why'd you say goodbye and leave us behind? Try to catch you round the bend. Till then, goodbye.
Carry on. I'm sorry, did I interrupt the very end there?
No, you're perfect.
It was that good?
Yeah.
Oh, for a second there, I thought there was like some more, and then I just.
That's when I launched the Bohemian Rhapsody. No, you're good, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Is there anything you want to plug before we have to rush?
I have a couple. Well, the Larkspurs will be playing. We just booked a show, which is exciting, in August, August 9th. Liz is coming back to town. Besides that, you can find out my dates on the social media at Django Solo. And then the next couple Sundays, I'm playing at Hotel Vermont if you want to come for brunch. You know, I'll just be hanging out there 11 to 1 p.m. There's others out there, but you got to find them.
All right.
I don't know.
That sounds lovely. Brunch and Django Solo at Hotel Vermont. That's,
yeah, man.
That's a classy way to start off a day. Yeah.
It's a perfect Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll play my song Sunday. It's going to be great.
Nice. Yeah. Well, again, thank you for coming in. Next time, bring your dad. We'll have a.
Yeah.
We'll do this whole
thing
again.
We'll get this party started.
Really started, yeah. Yeah. You got to catch us next week when we're going to have Perry the Dad coming in. As we said before the show started, the best rap name I've ever heard. So looking forward to having Perry the Dad in. Mm-hmm. But for now, this has been WOMMLP operating out of Burlington, Vermont, 105.9 The Radiator. It's been The Rocket Shop. I've been your host, Tom Proctor, and good night. Woo! Nice. Nice. All right.